kids have been home from school for a little bit now, and that means they are looking for things to do. As they are searching out new activities, one thing I've noticed is whenever myself or my wife are around and not working, they tend to follow us around. You go into another room and they want to come in there too. Hey, what's going on in here? Nothing yet. What are you guys doing over here? In the kitchen, standing by the stove, stirring the food in the pan? Well, I'm cooking. Oh, okay. Well, I'll just stand right behind you. Thanks. That'll help a lot. In my less gracious times, I've been known to get annoyed by people following me around. The dog does this all the time, that whatever room you go in, the dog wants to come and sit nearby. I've tried to ask the dog, okay, where are you going to go? You're going to sit by this chair? All right, then I'm going to go over here. But the dog doesn't stick to its agreement. It wants to come sit by our feet no matter where it is. As difficult it can be to know you're being followed around and the trouble with that, sometimes it's even worse if you don't know that someone's following you, but you think that maybe they are. Have you had that experience? You're out somewhere and there's not really a crowd around, but there are a few other people, and is one of them going the same way as you, or are they trying to follow you? Maybe you've had that experience while driving, that you start off way on the other side of town on your ride home, and the car behind you just keeps taking all the same turns. And you get closer and closer to home, and it seems less and less probable that they just happen to be going the same way as you, and more like they are following you, until now, with your heart leaping up into your chest, you pull into your driveway and they pull in across the street. Okay. Yeah, no. Now that I notice, okay, yeah, that's my neighbor. It's going to be okay. You really had me going there. I thought maybe I'd cut you off way back there and you'd follow me all the way across town. It can be a pain to be followed by someone. Being a leader in that way is not always fun. That sometimes you play that game, follow the leader, when you're a kid and force people to go over little obstacles and walk in weird ways. But in daily life, to have someone following you, it's a big responsibility. To say, all right, wherever I go, you're going to lead me. I'm going to lead you. Wherever I go, you're going to be following. Maybe you've gone on hikes that way, where you all agreed to go on a hike, and partway through you realized, are you guys following me? I thought we were walking together. I don't know where this trail goes. I'm not sure we're even on the trail anymore. Do any of us know where we are? All right, well, I guess we're heading back right now, before we get too lost. I often prefer to be that follower. That if something is really important, I want a good leader. Someone who knows what they're doing, where they're going, how to do it. Maybe after a few times of following someone else, then I'm ready to do it on my own. But I'd rather start with following. We're going to be in a series here for the next about dozen weeks as we come up towards Easter, following the words of Jesus through his teaching and seeing how they apply to us today. So often we go to other places in Scripture, in the New Testament or the Old Testament, and we see God's wisdom explained that way. But over the next weeks, we're going to be looking at Jesus' words and how we can apply them, not just to those original disciples who are walking around with him, but how they form that foundation of Christian living and how we apply them to our lives today. So now we're going to be starting in, we'll be reading in Mark. We're going to be looking at some of the first words of Jesus. It's actually interesting to see what Jesus starts out saying in each of the Gospels. I have a red letter version, so it's easy. You know, you turn into Matthew and you just look for the first words that are in red. The first thing Jesus says in Matthew is, "Let it be so now. For thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." He says that as he comes to be baptized. And John objects. wait, I need to be baptized by you. Why are you coming to me? Let it be so now. Then he goes off and is tempted in the wilderness. And so his next words are to the devil, John the Baptist, and then the devil. And then after that, he gets to people who are going to be following him. And that's what he says. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. In Luke, we start even earlier in the words of Jesus. His first words there, why were you looking for me? Do you not know that I must be in my Father's house? He's just a kid hanging out at the temple when his family wants to get home. Then a little bit farther on, he goes and he is tempted again. Then he's teaching in Nazareth, and it's all the way out into chapter 5 that finally he comes to a man. This is Levi, the tax collector, and he says, follow me. In John starts with Jesus sounding a little bit annoyed, actually. The first thing we see him say in John is, what are you doing? What are you seeking? What's going on here? As people have tried to follow Jesus before he's called them. They say, where are you going? Come, you will see. And they go and get Simon. And he says, you are Simon, the son of John. You shall be called Cephas. And he goes and finds the men and says, follow me. In Mark, where we will be reading here, we see these first words of Jesus after no words of Jesus are recorded at his baptism or during the temptation of Jesus. We pick up in verse 14 of Mark chapter 1. Now after John was arrested, Jesus came into Galilee proclaiming the gospel of God and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. Passing alongside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, the brother of Simon, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men. And immediately they left their nets and followed him. And going on a little farther, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who were in their boat mending the nets. And immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants and followed him. This is the word of God. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for being here with us today. And we ask that you would help us to know you more. That you would open our eyes to your word and apply it to our hearts. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Here in Mark, although we won't spend all of our time in Mark as we go through the teaching of Jesus, we were there a week ago talking of John the Baptist and preparing the way for Jesus' coming. And now we see Jesus first with a statement of the type of message he was bringing. The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. And then where we'll focus on that call, follow me. I will make you become fishers of men. It's interesting. John seems to have been preparing people for this message. For Jesus to say, follow me. When you think of those lines from Isaiah, making straight the way for the Lord, raising up the valleys and lowering the mountains. You know, God is the one least in need of having his way prepared for him. But what John the Baptist was doing wasn't so much preparing things to make it easy for God, but to make it possible for us. Because I think if we as sinful people just saw Jesus come in all his glory and holiness, no one could possibly accept a call to follow that. It was the hearts of people who needed to be prepared and then hear this message. Repent and believe in the gospel. And Jesus said, follow me. I will make you become fishers of men. God wants a lot from us. When we think of what God wants from us, really he asks not a small thing, but a very big thing. You see this in the example of what's happening with these disciples. leave what you are doing. Leave the family business. Come now and follow me. They get out of their boats. They leave their dad and the hired hands, and they follow Jesus. God asks a lot from us. Of course, for these early disciples, it was to literally start walking around with Jesus. Sometimes I wish it was that easy for me. Just follow the guy, we'll walk around in some circles, we'll listen to him teach. It's a 3-year deal, and we're done. But following Jesus today is not quite that simple. And yet, it is a big ask. Sometimes we try to get away with following Jesus in a way that doesn't ask very much from us. Sure, I'll follow Jesus. I can give him that 1 hour on a Sunday morning. That's my time I give over to him, and I can follow him during that time. The rest of the week, I would really like to keep for myself. If it's a real special occasion, we'll pencil in another 15 minutes here or there. But those sessions are hard to get. But if we can follow Jesus without changing much in our life, I think many of us would do it. But God wants a lot from us. To leave the things of this world and to follow Jesus. To be made new into children of God. And that is a big change. Throughout the teaching of Jesus, as we'll see in the weeks ahead, Jesus asks many things to change in our life. For us to step away from many things and into many new things. To follow Jesus and live a life that is pleasing to God means more than just every once in a while coming to church. God asks very much from us. That we are sinful people. We saw that in the prayers we read and the songs we sang. And as sinful people, sin is latched tightly onto our hearts. And so to follow Jesus means giving up something that probably we've just considered as who we are. The hardest work of following Jesus is letting him cut away all those things that we hold dear. Our own pride. Our own strengths. For God to say, it's great that you're following me. I don't like any of this. We're going to have to change it. If you've seen that movie, How to Train Your Dragon, the boy responds that way. You just motioned to all of me. Yeah, and that's what's going to have to change. God wants a lot from us. But the blessing and good news of this message is that although God wants a lot from us, God does a lot as well. What does God do for us? Here it is clear that for Jesus, the call to these disciples asked a lot from them to leave what they had and to follow Jesus instead. This call to follow him as a rabbi, the tradition of the time, you would be committed to a teacher and you would live and follow them and stick with them and spend quite a time of training with them. To come and follow me wasn't just for an afternoon, but it was to commit themselves to Jesus. But the other side of that is now you are led by Jesus. Now God is leading you. That God does a lot for us. Of course, the disciples did not know the full extent of what Jesus would do. Not when that call came. That they began to follow him mostly in ignorance. We have been blessed with a greater knowledge of what God does for us. That Jesus is there not just as an example, not just as a teacher, but as a Savior. Not just showing us things that we could do if we tried a little harder. That's the way I typically follow people in this world. You take a class with somebody, or someone helps you repair something. Okay, next time now I'll be able to do it. Thanks for helping me here, and now I have gained this ability. But not so with Jesus. Jesus leads and does what we have no ability at all to do. Because each of us is under the grip of sin. Each of us does sin in this life by nature and by choice. Jesus lived a perfect life. And then, because sin yields death, each of us deserve to die. And that call to follow Jesus turned out to be the only way that we can escape death. Because God, through the work of Jesus, does what none of us can do. Although God asks from us everything, to follow Jesus and to give our lives to God, to turn away from all these other things in the world that would tempt us and hold us back, God gives far more. He does what is impossible for us. He makes a way for us to have life. That Jesus, at the end of the gospel, he lays down his life. He dies in our place. The only one who is able to pay that price, the only one who had a righteous and holy life. And then he rises again to new life. And he grants that life to us. That those who believe in him, who follow him, can be called children of God. Not by our own strength, but by the work of Jesus. By the power of God. God wants from you all that you can give. And he grants to you far more than you could ever do. Each week we will look at these two, I put it as the two points we've covered already. From the words of Jesus, what is Jesus saying that God wants from us? And what is he saying that God will do for you? And then we'll look at that, the third point here. What does this mean for us today? Because I recognize it means something very different to follow Jesus 2,000 years ago when he walks up and asks you to follow than it does today. And yet, God is unchanging and that call still comes today. You notice the second half of what Jesus says, follow me and I will make you become fishers of men. These disciples were to pass on this message, to be transformed in their work from dealing with food which would nurture the body to now bringing a message that heals the soul. We see this throughout the teaching of Jesus. At the end of the Gospels, we see that the word going out, you've heard this message, now go and make disciples. Not just those original words of Jesus, but the words passed down by those who felt that the story of Jesus could not be lost. Inspired by the Holy Spirit, given to us even to today. To be fishers of men. To rejoice in the life that we have as we hand all of ourselves over to God. To turn from all of those old joys and now to the new joy of following Jesus, to receive the Holy Spirit, to be encouraged and given strength, and to be sent out today to let others know the gospel. This same mission, to follow Jesus. And as we go through the life of Jesus, as we head towards Easter, to celebrate what Jesus has done and to proclaim it. I love that we can gather on a Sunday morning. I love that we have some unity in getting together and singing the same songs, in hearing from the same portion of Scripture. But if all we do is spend this hour on Sunday patting ourselves on the back and enjoying some time together, we are very far from fulfilling what God has called us to, what God has empowered us to. And this year, we seek nothing more than to see the world around us renewed. Revival. That God would move through us because God is with us. His Spirit is upon us. That for each of you today, if you will follow Jesus, he can make you fishers of men. And if you have never in your life had the experience of speaking to someone else and sharing the gospel with them and seeing new life begin in them, I want all of you to have that experience, to boldly speak about Jesus, to go into that harvest because there are many hearts that are ready. And it is a lot to ask. But God asks a lot from us. But as we follow him, he provides us with so much more. And he is always with us, his Spirit upon us. Amen. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your mercy and your grace in the presence of your Spirit. And we ask that you would stir us up as we study the words of Jesus, that we cannot stay the same, but would be changed by your commands. That many would come to hear the gospel. Lord, make us fishers of men. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.